As we discussed earlier in the program, just about every agency in government has suffered from cutbacks in training and travel funding. But at Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Student and Exchange Visitor Program, talking with the stakeholders and the educational institutions they oversee is a core part of the mission. So when conferences got cut back, leaders knew they had to find another way to engage. They've since moved most of their training programs online, and the agency's more than happy with the results, says Rachel Canty, the Deputy Director for CVIP. She talked with me about her agency's experience with online stakeholder engagement earlier today.
Here at the Student and Exchange Visitor Program, what we do is we certify schools to accept international students. So if you're an international student studying in the United States, you have to be attending a school that's certified by us. As part of that, we also administer what's called the CVIS database, the Student and Exchange Visitor Information System database. And that database holds information that's inputted by officials from these schools on the students and the school itself. So the database is really important, and data integrity in the database is very important. So one of our primary outreaches is to our stakeholders, those school officials, as well as students, to make sure that they're implementing the program correctly, that they're adhering to all the regulations that they need to as schools, and that they're making sure that the data that they put into our CVIS database is accurate. So we attend and have attended for a number of years conferences all over the country with organizations of school officials or various entities of different kinds of schools, whether it be higher education like universities, community colleges, schools, Mid-Atlantic region, whatever it is. There's conferences all over the place. And we would go and interface with our stakeholders to make to tell them the latest updates, what's going on in our program, what the things are going with the database, lessons learned we've seen. You know, hey, we see a lot of school officials putting things in the wrong way. Let's tell you how to do it the right way. And so we still do that a lot. But what we're migrating to is to do a lot more webinars to talk about this stuff. And it's been fantastic. Originally, we did it because of budget constraints and travel constraints, but the more we do it, the more we're seeing that we can expand our audience vastly using this new technology.
So this was not something necessarily that you walked into grudgingly because of budget constraints, and maybe even if budgets returned to what they used to be, you would stick with this technology.
I think originally we were a little concerned about losing that face-to-face interface because it's great for us to talk in person to school officials, and we still learn a lot. And so we still do some in-person conferences. But, yeah, I would say at this point we will continue to do it this way because we're reaching such broader audiences, especially in a time of constrained resources. For one of my people to go to a conference, it's a day of travel often in each direction as well as the conference itself. So I'm losing a person for 3 days for maybe a two-hour conference. And so this way they can go do a webinar for 2 hours and be back to work right away.
And that same is probably true on the stakeholder end as well, right? Because schools probably can't afford to send everyone that they would like to a conference. You can send as many people as you want to a webinar.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. We're finding we're reaching a broader audience, exactly, especially those smaller schools that couldn't afford to send their school officials or couldn't afford to send all their school officials to a conference. Now everyone can listen to these webinars.
So how much did you have to modify your training materials that you were providing in person so that they suit an online audience? Was it basically just a drag and drop and everything just translated perfectly, or did you have to think through that?
Translated perfectly. I think partly because, you know, we're the government, so we do PowerPoint. So we always
yes.
had PowerPoints anyway. So now we can use them on screen, and we still have people talking to them. And we try to make our webinars a conversation, so it's still a conversation with the audience. So we really didn't do very much to modify them.
I wonder if one of the reasons that it's worked so well in this particular setting is that the people you're talking to are educational institutions who were way ahead of the game, probably in most cases, in terms of distance learning and in absorbing material in this way.
That's a good question. You know, I hadn't thought of that, but it probably could be. I think that's one of the things. I think another thing that's really helping us is that we looked around and we're using Adobe Connect, which besides lets us use a lot of people, lets us have up to 1,000 participants. It's as simple as you click and you have to have an internet connection and it works. They don't have to install any widgets. They don't have to have IT background because that is certainly not me, and I can use the technology. So it's really simple for everyone to use, and it doesn't take a lot of intuitive sense to do it.
After having had this experience and having success with communicating to, as we said, these outside stakeholders, has this live virtual meeting concept taken hold for you guys in sort of interagency and intra-agency communications within ICE or within DHS?
That is a really good question. I would say probably is not as much as we use it with our stakeholders. Certainly within ICE, there is a lot of use of video conferencing because we are a nationwide agency who have people everywhere. Our program, though, probably doesn't do it as much as some other programs. So yeah, in that sense, we're behind the curve.
Yeah, gotcha. So how are you taking in feedback from the schools to figure out what exactly they want from training, whether this particular medium is meeting their needs, and what are they telling you in general about it?
So we have a customer satisfaction survey. We run what's called the Study in the States website, DHS.gov, which is a web portal which provides tons of information to schools and students about our program and links to other agencies. And on that, we tell people who attend the webinars to please go and fill out our customer satisfaction survey. And so far, over 90% of attendees have agreed that the content of the presentation was useful, and over 90% of the attendees have agreed that the information included was clear and easy to understand. So that's the primary way we find that they like what we're giving them and that that they're finding what we're giving useful. Additionally, we get input from stakeholders in a variety of means saying, hey, this is of interest to us, or these are new topics that we'd like to hear about.
And in that way, has it proven a venue where you could potentially push out more information than you used to be able to in a face-to-face conference setting and expand sort of the range of training opportunities that are available?
Absolutely, especially right now. So CVIS database, the one that holds all this information on students' schools, we're doing a lot of modifications to it right now. And so every time we do a new change, we're able to hold webinars ahead of time to let people know and to actually let them see on screen, okay, this is what your screen is going to look like, and walk through the screen itself so people can see how to fill things out. And one of the most important things is we also record all our webinars. So if you can't make it at that time, you can go back and view it another time. Or if you say, hey, I saw that on the webinar, I don't exactly remember how to do this, you can go look it up online and look at it again. I think we're looking to expand how many conferences we can attend via webinars. Absolutely. We're on track right now to do, 50 virtual conferences this year and the same for next year, but we're always looking to see new audience members, new types of schools or organizations that we haven't talked to before that we might be able to get to that we wouldn't have previously because of commitments.
I have heard cases of other agencies who have done this, and the demand has been so incredible that they've actually outstripped the capacity of the basic IT to support it. Have you guys run into any of those problems, or is this scalable enough that you haven't run into that kind of thing?
We haven't run into that yet. We're using Adobe Connect, which lets us have 1,000 participants, which is one of the reasons we chose it. So that's pretty big. We, on average, have 400 to 600 participants per webinar, and then we've had about 1,500 unique views of the recorded one. So far, we haven't tested the limits of it, but we may at some point, and then we're going to have to look for something else.